I wonder if Jefferson were here today, would he be pleased with what has become of America, or would he be sad? Let's find out. The third president of the United States is Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson for president. Who's coming with me?
This is more ceremony than I really like. When I stood reluctantly for the presidency in the year 1800, pressed forward by my closest friend, James Madison, I finally acquiesced and said to him, I will agree to stand for this office on one condition, that I need make no public appearances whatsoever. And I could not have done this. I'm a shy man. I'm not comfortable with strange situations. I had a slight speech impediment. I'm not an orator. I was probably the most scholarly and quiet president in American history. The election of 1800 was essentially a vote of no confidence for the Federalist Party. And so we were retiring the party that had written the Constitution and the party of Washington and Adams and particularly Hamilton. And the people spoke loudly in 1800 that they wanted a fresh start. They wanted to return to the principles of 1776. So I always called the election of 1800, not because I was in it, the second American Revolution.
So take us to the Declaration of Independence. How thrilling was that to write? Was it terrifying to launch a war?
Terrifying to launch a war, certainly. No one wanted that to happen. In fact, as late as May of 1776, I said, the great majority of us would rather conciliate with Britain. If we can find some way to work this thing out, that we would much prefer that to the, not only to the horrors of war, but to the breakdown of our status as British citizens. To be a British citizen in the 18th century was something. And Britain was the greatest nation on earth. It had the greatest rights tradition of any nation on earth. It had documents, the Magna Carta, the British Bill of Rights, that we could point to as bulwarks of human liberty. No one who lived in France would not have preferred to live in Britain with respect to freedom, opportunity, the opportunity to express oneself without censorship or without being jailed for it. There was more religious freedom in Britain than any other country. So we were proud to be British citizens. We were unfortunately driven into revolution by bad decisions by the British ministry and by a certain mulishness on behalf of George III. So we certainly didn't want the war. And I didn't participate in the war. My work was as a statesman. The Declaration of Independence, it didn't terrify me, but I will say honestly, I didn't think that I was the best person for that job.
Who was?
Oh, I think Dr. Franklin. You know, there was a committee of five created. Franklin and Adams and I were the three most prominent members of it, and Franklin certainly should have written this document. He was the greatest American. He had the greatest reputation in the world as a pure scientist, as a raconteur, a printer, a businessman, an inventor. And he had a stature that I simply didn't have. I was 33 years old. I was a shy man. John Adams, I think, said that in the whole course of the Second Continental Congress, I never said two sentences together. So I was this sort of meek person in a corner who had a reputation for being a brilliant scholar.
Yeah.
And so if Franklin had been willing to do it, certainly he would have been the person. But when he was asked if he would draft the Declaration of Independence, he said that he would never again agree to write anything subject to committee review.
Smart man.
So that left Adams and me, and Adams persuaded me to do it. Then I wasn't afraid. Once that had happened, once I had overcome my diffidence, my sense of inhibition, I knew exactly how to do it. Anyone in this room could have written the Declaration of Independence. It's an expression of the American soul, that under certain extreme conditions, a people can be driven into revolution, and that all peoples have certain fundamental rights that are not granted by the king or the pope or by God. They're rights inscribed in the human breast. I simply wrote it out.
Did you all talk the way you wrote? I mean, you don't need me to quote you to you, but for instance, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And that sounds good, but a lot of times when you read our Founding Fathers, you gotta say, now, what does that mean? Do those words come out of your mouth in speech? Would you say hello to Adams or Franklin or somebody and use that kind of convoluted language that we hear?
Well, I don't agree that it was convoluted. I wrote 65 volumes worth of writings in the course of my life. I wrote 22,000 letters and one book, Notes on Virginia, a number of state papers. And I don't want to sound self-regarding, but I would challenge you to read that entire corpus of 65 volumes and find a single sentence that isn't immediately clear and lucid. We did have people who wrote in circumlocution and who had long Ciceronian language and failed to get to the point, but I frankly wasn't one of those. So if you would like to go over the Declaration of Independence, I'll explain it to you.
No, but... But I'll just give you another example. Again, pardon me for quoting you to you, but one sentence that caught my eye, and it's typical, if you will, of the way you wrote. You said about becoming a member of the Federalist Party or parties in general, I am not a Federalist because I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men whatever. If I could not go to heaven but with a party, I would not go there at all. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. But then again, I had to read that again. And I thought,
well, what's so difficult about that?
Well, I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men, whatever.
Let's just stop there. I take it that you have a system of opinions about the economy, about politics, about family life, about American government, about sport. Don't you have a system of opinions?
Sure.
Have you ever submitted them to one party, one entity that said all of the things that I happen as a sovereign human being to think,
yeah,
what I've read, what I think, my experiences, all of that makes me a Federalist, or all of that makes me a Republican? That's ridiculous. Those labels confine the sovereignty of the human spirit into extremely narrow channels. And all I'm saying is that if you're an independent thinker and then you say, oh, I'm also a Republican.
Right.
You have automatically belittled that your capacity for free thought, and you've become someone who's marching in line with a party platform, which I think is a degradation of the human spirit. John, they obviously understand it. So.
Yeah, but you could have just said, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
No. I did say if I could only go to heaven at the head of a party, I would rather not go. I think that's clear too.
That's good. That was kind of a funny thing you said.
Well, you see, it's not funny because I was essentially humorless. it's true. I was essentially humorless, but it's not funny, but it's witty. Wit is saying something that everybody knows, but saying it more pointedly, saying it in a way that's memorable or that drives home the point. And this is, I think Alexander Pope, the great poet of the 17th century, said that wit was what oft was thought, but never so well expressed. And this is, I wouldn't put this in the top 10 pieces of wit in human history, but, you know, I was constantly trying to find memorable, persuasive, even inspiring language for what amount to some platitudes about life.
I think I can relate to that. Truly, as a talk show host, there are times where you say things and you know that the audience is nodding their head, maybe in the car, saying, oh, boy, I'm glad somebody said that. I agree. Let me ask you this. Did you ever make a bad joke about the troops in Iraq and get it wrong? And everybody got all in a fuss?
No, you know, as president, I did not serve in the revolutionary armies. And in fact, it was an issue some of the key battles. And Valley Forge, particularly, George Washington wrote and said, "Where's Madison? Where's Jefferson?" And there was a perception that even though we were, some of us, John Adams, Madison, and I, were intellectuals of the Revolution and legislators and extremely important in our own niche, the fact that we weren't there with muskets and bloody rags on our feet, suffering from bad food and epidemics in the field, was held by some against us. So I certainly do understand that. But when I was president of the United States between 1801 and 1809, my policy on appointments, you know, one of the difficulties of being the president is you have to appoint people to office. I call this appointments and disappointments. Because every time I appoint one to office, I have 10 new enemies who weren't appointed. And the one that I appointed is frequently an ingrate.
Yeah.
So appointments and disappointments. But my rule was, all other things being equal, I appointed Revolutionary War veterans. I honor those veterans as I think we should, because they have done the supreme thing. They have put themselves forward into harm's way on behalf of concepts like liberty and for their country. And I think we can never praise such people enough. But I wouldn't have done that. It's really true, and I'm not saying this lightly. In the whole corpus of my life, I have only one joke. I mean, literally one joke, and it's not about soldiers; it's about lawyers, which okay. I think is more appropriate.
Would you want to share your joke?
It's not very funny. We need a drum. I said this. So you got a letter from a young Virginia congressman in 1809 when I had retired from the presidency, and he said, "Mr. Jefferson, there are 155 members of the Congress of the United States, and yet nothing gets done. Why?" And I wrote back and said, "Young man, whenever you gather 150 lawyers into one room at one time, nothing good can come of it. These are, after all, men who are paid to talk by the hour." That's it. That is literally the sum total of my humor.
Oh, Mr. President, that was so funny, that joke you told.
It's a harmless joke.